Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is a big evaluation stage for us to figure out exactly what we're going to be from an identity standpoint on the offensive side of the ball. But as far as like our installs that we're going to implement in training camp, we're kind of mirroring those as we go throughout OTAs.
Words that I never thought I would say in the state of Wisconsin. While the Bucks and Brewers steal the spotlight, the Packers, in this low-key, under-the-radar way, are reforming their identity. Mike Clemens joins us. Mike, you, of course, have been focused on this throughout as the Packers enter the Matt LaFleur era. OTAs have begun. Interesting that normally the state has a microscope on them, but they don't right now.
You know what? And Matt probably loves it that way.
Right?
I mean, he is flying under the radar.
Yeah.
He's not trying to make a name or shake a tree. He doesn't need any more national press, you know, about him and Aaron Rodgers or anything like that, or the pressure that's on him to get the Packers immediately back into the playoffs. So we're trying to get to know this guy a little bit more. He's opening up a little bit more. Matt LaFleur, a guy that's worked extremely hard on the fast pace for the last 10 years. He has networked this league, Kevin, both, you know, when I saw him at the combine, when he would finish doing an interview, like with us, like the people from the Wisconsin media, he'd turn around and there'd be two or three national NFL writers. Hey, Matt, because you know what? He was pals with these guys in Atlanta, in Houston with the Texans, you know, and in his last job with the Titans. I mean, he's in Los Angeles with Sean McVay, in Washington. I mean, he's been networking all along the way. Whereas Mike, you know, McCarthy, he didn't have time for any of these knuckleheads. You know, it's just he's all football. He might talk to a coach.
Right.
He might talk to a former player, but he ain't got time to talk to any of these knuckleheads in the media. LaFleur networks with everybody. So we are serious. So Matt LaFleur, you know, you know more about a coach when he plays his hand and you see how he, what kind of a party he throws. And that's what it was with practice the other day. You know, when we usually come in and you guys from CBS are taking your pictures, what, right in the first period for the warm-ups, right?
That's right.
You're allowed to. You get good pictures of the head and shoulders of the guy before he puts his helmet on, you know, which is good for your B-roll and that kind of thing. We couldn't shoot the first and second period.
Really?
They went into some individual drills. And then when they got to the third period, they took a break. And that's when they went through their full warm-ups on the ground, stretching. And completely different regime under Chris Gizzi, the former linebacker who's now in charge with the conditioning. Completely different setup. I mean, it's just it's like you can shoot the third period and the fifth period.
Oh, that's bizarre.
At an OTA. And then the rest of it, then they, you know, cameras down, and now we'll show you some 11-on-11. And they did a lot of running plays, and you can see that clearly they're working on the outside zone.
Yeah.
So I asked Matt about that. You know, different structure. Here's the other thing that just jumped right out of me. They broke into different individual drills. And so you're seeing Ben Sermons, who was held over as running backs coach. He's there with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams and the rest of the running backs, the kid that they drafted from Notre Dame. And all of a sudden, though, then the coach, Ben, he waves over to the LB's coach, and they bring over linebackers. So instead of like running the gauntlet or doing the high stepping through the ropes, they're doing that with linebackers.
Oh, wow.
They're going toe-to-toe with the linebackers. And that was just a different thing. Normally we just say when they break up into individual drills, the running backs are over there and the defense is down at that other end of the field. And Matt LaFleur says, you know, in all the years that he's prepared to try and get to this level, to be a head coach in the NFL, I mean, he's been stealing from everybody. Every team that he's in, and any time he can get his hands on another coach's, a past coach's schedule, how they laid out their practice, he's been reviewing it for this day now in Green Bay.
I mean, honestly, I've looked at so many schedules and been a part of so many different systems. Like, they all are very, very similar in terms of the format, the number of plays, the type of periods that you have on a daily basis, and it really comes to we're just trying to implement our systems right now. And as we progress, then some of those periods will be, you know, situational, whether it's red zone, 2 minute, or whatever that emphasis is. But right now, early on in this process, it's more or less primarily first and second down. Today, we implemented a little bit of third down, but we just want guys competing to get better at every moment, and really are intentional about the drills that we're doing, how they relate to the game. It really comes down to competition and striving to get better.
I liked it. I mean, it was a whole new energy, whole new voices out there.
Yeah.
Coaches seemed to know what they were doing. I saw players more involved. Also, I saw David Bakhtiari sort of directing traffic.
Wow.
And even talking to guys like Bulaga and say, no, if we're going to do this outside zone, here's what the running back's going to do. And David Bakhtiari mimicking how a running back might attack that outside flat when they're going out there. I mean, you know, working with Luke Butkus, you know, the assistant line coach, just a different energy for OTAs. I mean, really, you
That's
know, just
big.
Yeah, just a different energy out there. Now at wide receiver, so Davante Adams is not practicing. They said it was precautionary. Maybe he did something in the first or two second practices they had out there. But LaFleur says, well, that's okay. We got all these young receivers to take a look at, you know, from last year. And, you know, the thumbs down play goes to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I don't remember who was covering him, but he was toe-to-toe racing down the right-hand sideline, put up that big 6'4" hand, and he's wide. You know, he had the guy by two steps. It was a great-looking play. And DeShone Kizer, God bless him, backed up in the pocket and cocked and with that ball about 45, 48 yards downfield in the sideline, hit it above his helmet right into his hands, and he dropped it.
Oh, no.
Catch of the day, Aaron Rodgers throwing darts, looking around. Darnell Savage gets his hips turned, you know, the new safety, but he's deep, and he's on 16, and Aaron Rodgers throws this dart right into the chest of Jake Kummerow. And like they'd been together for 5 years.
Wow.
That looked pretty good. So then, you know, Randall Cobb no longer there. Who's going to be your slot guy? And I'll tell you what, when Randall was injured so many weeks last year, there was one time on a Wednesday we're talking to Rodgers about, you know, how much do you miss Geronimo Allison this year too? Yeah, a lot. I mean, I got Randall out half the season. G-Mo's been out, you know, on IR and all that. That would have made so much difference this year to have a little bit more experience like that. And then I just said, can he play slot too? Oh, yeah, yeah. We've had him in the slot. And when I heard that, I thought, see, they're already moving on from Randall Cobb. And sure enough, they had Geronimo Allison lined up in the slot the other day, right at the OTAs. And so we asked LaFleur about that. With Randall Cobb gone, who will be designated to play the slot receiver? And he said, you know what? It's more about the design of the play.
It's more, I guess, concept-driven, not necessarily, you know, slot versus outside receiver. It more or less has to do with what we're asking them to do, because just thinking back all the way to when we were in Atlanta, I mean, I think most people, once those types of players are outside receivers, but there were a lot of times we put them inside to run different type of vertical routes and just so defenses can't get a beat on where he's going to line up every time, every play. So I think if you watch practice, I think you saw almost all those receivers, EQ, yeah, Jamon was in the slot. Are you asking the guy to run a choice route, or are you asking him to take the top off and run a vertical route? Because that's why I think it's important to assemble your receiving core similar to how you would, you know, a basketball team. You're not going to go out and play with five point guards. You know what I'm saying? You need a speed guy. You need a guy that's got that short area quickness that can separate and run those choice routes. Maybe it's third and four. So we'd like to have a couple guys that are versatile enough to do both of those things.
Nice to know that he's got a plan for the receivers, and I think the receivers would buy in right away, whether you're veteran or rookie.
And that's a typical philosophy for an offensive guy in the National Football League. But it's interesting that he opens up the door a little bit and says, yeah, I'm not going to put five point guards out there.
Right.
Yeah, everybody's talking about the Bucs, but you know, I thought that was just an interesting insight on his part.
So that helps set up the relationship with his receivers, but I think if there's one thing that has the microscope, even with the Bucs and Brewers playing, it's the relationship between coach and number 12.
Yeah, and I don't want to dwell on that part because I think that maybe that's there's too much of that. I mean, right now they are trying to teach a new playbook to a new team with a new set of coaches.
Right.
However, it is part of it. And, you know, it's May. And for Aaron Rodgers, he's in a total different gear right now. I mean, he's working hard, and he's got this new playbook that he's got to learn. And he is the leader of the franchise. But, you know, he's like, dude, man, you know, this is my golf season. You know, I've got some golfing to do. So he was asked, and you can hear John Kuhn, who the former fullback, he's now holding a microphone for Packers.com. They're in the background sometimes. So he was asked, so are you spending any more extra time with your new head coach, Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, I mean, we spend a lot of time at the facility. That's kind of enough for me right now. He said that, you know, that head coaches shouldn't be great golfers. So, you know, my off season is when I'm here is a lot of golf, and I don't know if he's a scotch drinker either. So we gotta get down to it. But we spend a ton of time, you know, here at the facility. He's in all of our meetings. Like I said, we're constantly communicating, and you know, I'm not worried about the development of the relationship. It's gonna naturally get to where it needs to go.
Now, I think a scotch drinking contest between Rodgers and LaFleur would beat a beer drinking contest with Rodgers.
Did you hear what he said, though? The Matt LaFleur's reply was, head coaches should not be good golfers.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that a shot at Mike?
I mean, I always thought Mike was a great worker, though. Didn't we always hear the stories about him in the off-season working long weeks?
Yeah.
If it is, it's weirdly placed, right? But who else would it be?
I don't know.
Who else would it be?
And so then Aaron was asked, so, you know, did you have concerns when the LaFleur playbook came in that this was something you were going to be able to connect with?
Yeah, I wasn't worried about that. I mean, his system, it works. It's worked in L.A., it worked in Washington, it worked in Atlanta, works in San Fran. We saw that last year against us. So, and the league, you know, it's a copycat league. There's a lot of the same concepts. It just comes down to matching that up terminology-wise and trying to figure out what I'm doing first so I can, you know, start to help the other guys.
Mike Clemens joining us with some insight into Packers OTAs and the beginning of a new era that everybody, well, almost everybody, is buying into. There is one player who's not there. One player who isn't buying in at all. Josh Jones gets a little spotlight next year as Mike Clemens continues to talk Packers with us on The Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, the thing about Josh is we know and realize that nobody's down on him or anything like that. I mean, he's still a big, fast, physical safety, you know, that we drafted. You know, when he comes in, the only thing we can do is just continue to develop his skill set.
Yeah, that's, you know, right now I'm just going to focus on the guys that are here. I guess we'll cross that bridge when it comes. But that's something that, you know, I know Goody has a good handle on that situation.
Packers OTAs continue. Matt LaFleur getting his team together, but Josh Jones not with the team at the moment. He is working out in Florida. Mike Clemens on The Bill Michaels Show. Bill Michaels Show brought to you in part by Bud Light.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. They are the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
All right, so Mike, it's this very strange situation because the Packers had LaDarius Gunter guard Julio Jones in an NFC Championship game not that long ago.
Yeah.
And now a guy they drafted to be one of the difference makers 2 years ago appears to already be on the way out as they've revamped the position.
Well, so there was a plan here when it came to safety, all right? You had, and you know, as far back as Nick Collins going down with a neck injury in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So Morgan Burnett emerges as a guy that you can trust back there that can call the shots and be the strong safety. And later they would move into inside linebacker. He took a lot of hits his last couple of years in Green Bay. 1 year last year with the Steelers, now he's out in the street. The Browns were going to take a look at him. I think they took a pass. So Morgan was your guy. And then you're trying to build for, you know, his replacement. So you spend a first-round pick on Clinton Dix out of Alabama, which looked pretty promising the first couple of seasons.
Right.
And then for the last year and a half, I do not understand why Clinton Dix just turned off some certain switch. And he had a run with the Redskins. Jay Gruden told us at the combine, no, we like him. But they didn't bring him back. And now he's with the Bears, who were a little bit strapped for cash. And so maybe that's, maybe he's like pulling the Brett Favre. I'll do 1 year with the Jets, and I'll go against these guys in the NFC North. That remains to be seen. So, you know, it was going to be Morgan Burnett. And when you knew that he wasn't going to be renewed, you got Ha-Ha, and then you bring in another guy. This second-round pick out of North Carolina in Josh Jones, number 27. Now, you can blame Ted, but I'll tell you what. The guy who kind of sponsored this guy was Brian Gutekunst. Because you remember Ted used to do that thing in his last few years. They would bring in position coaches. And then later he said, you know, it's the draft, and we've got this time for these, for my department to sort of get a little PR. And let's let Elliot Wolf and Gutekunst and some of these other guys in their department get a little media time. See what it feels like to be in the big chair and talking to the media, talking about why we just made this pick. So he started sending personnel guys down on draft weekend instead of assistant coaches, position coaches. And so Brian came in and said, yeah, you know, that's my territory, my old territory, the southeast side, and I've got some, you know, spies out there that told me about this kid. Now, Josh Jones came in, and he was everything that they advertised, speed, hard-hitting, a lot of energy. But after a while, Dom Capers couldn't trust him on third down. And after a while, Mike Pettine got in here last year and said, same thing. This guy can't call a defense. And on special teams, you know, he's the one that gets the holding call and calls back a Ty Montgomery 50-yard kickoff return. So, you know, he faces that. So if you're Josh Jones, it's like, wait a minute. I came in here to get the tail end of Morgan Burnett. It was going to be me and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. You traded him, and now you go and get Adrian Amos from the Bears. Okay, I can understand that. It was going to be me and Amos. Wait a minute. You use a first-round pick on Darnell Savage, a rookie? A rookie? So I asked Tremont Williams, the veteran, do you understand Josh Jones' frustration?
I mean, I think anybody can understand, you know, understand the frustration. But you also got to understand that anytime you step in this building, it's going to be team first. It's always going to be team first. So as long as you're not in this building, I think you'll hurt yourself. Whenever you're in this building, it's always team first. But I do understand, you know, his frustration. And as a player, I mean, you have to do what you have to do. You have to, to some degree, look out for yourself. I'm going to say this one more time. When you're in this building, it's always team first.
So the door shuts, basically, right?
Yeah. It's like, don't let it hit you on your way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tremont Williams has always been such a great story, such a good guy, and undrafted and released by the Houston Texans, and he's flying around there at that first mini camp. And this is the kind of story that the Packers love, these undrafted guys that keep battling, keep competing year after year after year. And by the way, something that Gutekunst is doing different than Ted Thompson, Michael Cohen pointed this out the other day, that if you go up and down this roster, when they would bring in all these undrafted guys, I mean, you know, undrafted, fresh, right out of college, Ted liked to get them that way. Well, not like they'd been, you know, messed up by other teams or something like that. Gutekunst likes guys that have already had some kind of look in the NFL.
Yeah.
In other words, he's trusting his pro personnel board more than his fresh out of college board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's okay that these guys have had some reps with other teams. There was a tight end that I really liked this week that was kind of stood out to me. 6'5", 250-pound Evan Bayless out of Oregon. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, so he didn't get drafted. No, he's actually already spent some time with the Carolina Panthers and one other team. Hmm. So Gutekunst, that's something he's doing different than Ted, is he's, you know, he's ranking these guys that have already gotten looks, undrafted players from other teams. They don't have to be, you know, their first team has to be the Green Bay Packers, and I think that's smart. Now, Tremont Williams is, like I say, he's the poster boy when it comes to the undrafted story in Green Bay. Long, successful NFL career. Jason Simmons is the new defensive back coach. Now, remember they used to have Darren Perry at safety and Joe Witt, you know, at the corners. Joe Witt, great coach, great coach. And then they, you know, McCarthy in his last year made him the pass defense coordinator. I mean, the titles got all kind of messed up and weird last year. And Joe's now with the Browns like half the other former Packers staff. Jason Simmons is a guy who was with Pettine last year. He was the assistant. He's been promoted. He is the defensive back coach. And he told us, no, I've got the safeties and the corners all in the same room. Why would you separate those two?
Right.
They're all in the same room. And he was asked about Tremont. Like, here's Tremont, 36 years old. I mean, is this guy still bringing it?
He still loves what he's doing. You know what I mean? That's the thing about him. This guy still loves football. That's the deal. You know, guys, a guy that's played that long, a guy that's won a Super Bowl, you know, a guy that has money, what keeps him going is he loves football. He loves to be around football. He loves to be around the guys. He loves to compete. And as long as you love to compete, you know, that, I mean, we want him in this building.
I mean, he picked off Michael Vick in a different generation, it feels like, in a playoff game.
Yeah. So, you know, Josh Jones, he sees the draft. He sees that they draft another safety, you know. And then he sees us say in the media, oh, wow, they'll have Amos from the Bears and then this Savage kid from Maryland who's a ball hawk. And, you know, Amos would probably be like the, you know, the veteran setting up the secondary like Morgan Burnett did. And this kid out of Maryland, you know, with the 4.3 speed, he can go after the football. Well, this is a great setup. Well, Josh is reading this stuff at home and says, I'm not coming in. You know, how come I haven't been looked at? Even though officially on the depth chart, he's supposed to be next to Amos. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, like, well, what do you see the roles in for Amos and the rookie out of Maryland, Darnell Savage, you trade up for in the first round again?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice having those guys that have, if you had to say, you know, Adrian's would probably lean towards being a strong safety and Darnell obviously leaning towards free, but they're interchangeable. And that's something that I've always liked in the system, that teams can't identify that, hey, when the strong is here, it means this. And when the free is here, it means that, or whether it's a certain player where they can do each other's job, but you want them to major in what they're best at. But I think both of them can do it all. I mean, you've seen, you know, Adrian in his time in Chicago was no problem being in the post or the deep half, and he's been very productive down around the ball as well. And then we've all seen Darnell's college tape, you know, with the speed and the range, he can certainly play deep. But this is a guy he was a good blitzer. You know, he was not an issue for him playing down inside as well. So it's nice having both those guys that we're still going to be able to do a lot of different things with.
So there's Mike Pettine.
Yeah.
Pretty much confirming what we all guessed.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Amos will be in charge, and we'll let the kid run around and be a ball hawk.
Yeah.
Hello. Rashawn Gary, out of Michigan. First pick overall. A lot of people concerned. The torn labrum. People hadn't really heard of him.
Right.
The football people heard of Rashawn Gary. I mean, they've been tracking him for years.
Mm-hmm.
Matt LaFleur talked about the time that he went there to go talk to a quarterback there for Notre Dame, and he looked over and said, who's that kid? And it was Rashawn Gary. He's like a junior when he went to visit that high school in New Jersey. You know, he remembers him from an agility drill that they were doing in the gym in their field house.
Oh, wow.
At this school in New Jersey. So we talked to Mike Smith. This guy's pretty cool. The new outside linebacker coach,
mm-hmm.
Mike Smith played the outside linebacker with the Ravens, you know, and Terrell Suggs and that bunch. And Pettine was one of his coaches there for a while. A little time with the Jets. He's been getting into coaching. He was part of the staff with the Chiefs where he coached guys like, you know, Dee Ford and Justin Houston, who got that big fat contract from Dorsey. And so we're talking about him, about Rashawn Gary. And he said, you know, as an outside linebackers coach, he got this list in January from personnel, from Gutekunst and his staff, say, here's the top 10 edge guys. We want you to take a look at on tape and tell us what you think. He said, sure, Nick Bosa was number one overall. He should have been the number one pick, he said, instead of a quarterback.
Right.
He said, but after that, Rashawn Gary, are you kidding me?
I was running down. Whoever gives me my list, I still look at everybody anyways, because I think it's a good way to judge what's out there, right? If I just look at the 10 guys they give me, you know, I can't compare Gary to Bosa, even though we wouldn't get him. I want to see where he's at and compare, you know. Going in that, I knew we had a chance, you know. I honestly didn't think he was going to go at 12. I thought he was going to go way before then, right, how I evaluated, looked at him, you know. And I'll throw out there, I thought he was the best in the league or the best in college football as outside linebacker. I had him number one, right, because I believe in that, and I believe in him. And so I was very excited when we got him. I was running down the hallway, you know. So I know what he has, and I know what he can do. It's unbelievable. I mean, a guy that size and that speed and athleticism, I've never seen it. I've been in the league for 11 years, you know. So you can do a lot of things with him. You know, usually at Kansas City, where I was at before here, you know, I had Dee Ford, he's smaller, great get off, right? And you got Justin Houston, that's a big, strong guy, okay? And you get a guy, Gary, it's both of them, you know. And so when you're a tackle in this league, and we learned that today with Gary, you know, they look kind of guy you are, you know. You know, you got a guy that's got to get off speed and you're strong and you're powerful. it's a dangerous combination. So you just got to learn how to use those tools.
Mike Smith, the new outside linebackers coach, talking about Rashawn Gary. Oh, by the way, talk about undrafted guys. Remember when Kenny Clark went down? They put in Tyler Lancaster, undrafted kid from Northwestern, and I'd heard from the offensive lineman, this kid's good.
Yeah?
And you know what? I got that confirmed from Jerry Montgomery, the defensive line coach. So that's a guy to watch out for as well.
A lot of guys to watch out as the Packers continue these OTAs. Mike Clemens and us will wrap up the last segment here on the Bill Michaels Show in just a moment.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show final segment here is Mike Clemens has been filling us in on the Green Bay Packers and OTAs, and it doesn't matter the year, there are always storylines, but many, many storylines.
You know that last game at Fiserv Forum, Bucks against the Celtics,
yeah.
And you got David Bakhtiari chugging a couple of beers and then challenging Aaron Rodgers and all that, right? And you got Yelich and Ryan Braun in the house and all that. I thought, this is such great juice for the Bucks, right?
Right.
So I asked Aaron Rodgers about that. I said, you know, I know you started going to Badger games a few years ago, and that was pretty cool. And not all you guys at these Bucks games. This is Wednesday before last night's loss. But I said, do you think that your presence there with you and your teammates adds a little extra juice?
Any more juice. So, I mean, the stadium has been fantastic. Dave's kind of a punk because he lied to me when he said he wasn't gonna actually chug beers, because I'll be ready next time though. We'll see what happens.
So we can expect that Thursday night?
No, don't expect anything, right, John? One of the four agreements. Don't have any expectations. You should know better. But if you were there, you'd be pounding beer. I heard you were pounding some beers at the last game, John. Having a little fun? We're gonna get you on that Jumbotron this time, Johnny boy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
That's John Kuhn, the former fullback now working for Packers.com, asking some questions. So that's the four agreements. That's like some book I Googled that from a Don Ruiz or something. You know, the four agreements about, you know, always stick to your word and, you know, have confidence in what you do. And that's kind of an interesting little thing that he dropped there that he's reading. And then, of course, everybody's asking Aaron about his Game of Thrones thing. He said there's a lot of these scenes that people put on Twitter. He said, that's not me. The guy on fire, running through the burning arch and everything. Right? So Aaron Rodgers, gosh, is he into Game of Thrones? Are you kidding me? Because he was asked, were you satisfied with the ending of Game of Thrones last Sunday night?
No. I love the show, and it was a great 10 years, but no. I mean, you come down to the end, and Tyrion says the person with the best story is Bran, who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
So who should have been on the throne?
I mean, I think Dany should have been on the throne.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing, though. Here's my last theory about it.
Okay.
If Bran, the three-eyed raven, who's, you know, all about the health of the realm, let's think about what he did. He basically...
Oh, I think he's still talking about it.
This is from 3 days ago, and he's still doing it.
He's still talking about it.
Knowing that Sansa would tell Tyrion.
Oh, it's crazy. Mike Clemens, appreciate it.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today. All right.